Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the prophecies of the end times. We surely are living in the end times. And because of that, every time there is a war or an earthquake or pestilence or famine, people say, oh, we're getting close to the time of the end. Yes, every day that goes by, we are getting closer. That's certainly true. No question about it. But as we have seen, in order for the tribulation to start, there has to be the abomination that makes desolate that stands in the holy place, which we have seen. That means there must be the temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. There must be the beast power in the one single man who is the leader, who is proclaimed to be God on earth. There must be the false prophet who exalts this man so that he goes into the temple of God that the Jews will rebuild in Jerusalem and proclaim that he himself is God, because he comes back from a deadly wound and all of the earth wonders. And at that time, just before the great tribulation starts, he is given control over the whole world, as we saw in Revelation 13. Now, because he comes back to life, the false prophet who has anointed this one and says, this is Christ manifested in the flesh. And remember what Jesus said. They say, here is Christ, there is Christ, don't believe it. We'll see why in a little bit. But let's first of all understand that there will be no rapture, that there will be a martyrdom of the saints. Let's look and see when will be the starting point of that martyrdom. Let's see this in Revelation 13. And let's see what happens when the beast comes back to power, when the deadly wound is healed. Now, the false prophet does this. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast which had the wound by the sword, yet lived. Now, what is that? If you make an image for someone, that is idolatry. True Christians will not abide to that. They will not make an image. They will not bow down to it. So therefore, they will be killed. Now notice, verse 15. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast also could speak. And he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. That is the reason for the martyrdom. Now let's also see a description of those who are the true believers, the true church of God, at this time in history, right at the beginning of the tribulation. Just across the page in Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now that's together. See, the truth is it takes faith to keep the commandments of God. A lot of people say, well, if you have a commandment to keep, you don't have any faith. No, if you don't keep the commandments, you don't have any faith. If you have the faith of Jesus, you will believe in him. You also keep the commandments. So that's why they're going to be killed, because they are not going to make any image, worship any image, break any commandment of God. Now let's see where there will be an exception of a few who will escape. Now, there will be two categories of those who will escape. Let's come back here to Matthew 24. Let's see what Jesus said to those who are in Judea. When they see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in a holy place. Now let's see what they are to do. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea, not the whole world, flee into the mountains. Now, what does that mean? That means you get out of there and go as fast as you can on your little old 2 feet and get into the mountains if you don't want to die. Is that a secret rapture? No, that's not a secret rapture. Notice how urgent it is. See, because here's the beast in the temple saying, I am God. And the false prophet saying, make an image to him. And bow down and worship this image. And here are those in Judea. Jesus said, flee to the mountains. How quickly? Verse 18, let the one who's in the field not go back to take his garments. Go! Don't wait. Don't go back. That's walking. That's escaping, isn't it? That's part of the group that we read in the message before about those in Luke 21 who will escape the things that are coming. So the mountains, that's south and east. That's over in the area of Jordan. There's a place there called Petra. And many people think that Petra becomes a main place of escape and safety. Now, it's possible. We don't know all the facts concerning it. And I know a lot of people who say, well, you know, boy, I want to be one of those to escape, see? And so they've had their little packet so they could take with them. And they'd even put it in the trunk of their car so that why, if they were at church on the Sabbath and the word came, time to go, that they could run out into the trunk of their car and get their Bibles. I'm ready. See? Notice what Jesus said here. Verse 20, after he warns about those who are with child and nursing so forth, pray that your flight be not in the winter nor on the Sabbath. What do you know about that? When it's time to flee to a place of safety on your feet from Judea, it won't be on a Sabbath. Notice, for then there shall be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. That's the start of the tribulation. Now then, let's look at another group of few who escape, but are not in Judea. Let's come to Revelation 12. And let's see where it talks about those who escape. And we are going to find something very, very, very interesting here. A lot of things that are very interesting, which absolutely destroys the whole theory of a secret rapture. This is talking about the end time. Let's begin in verse 9. And we'll follow through the verses to see, how does this occur? Where are they taken? What about those who are faithful? And then we'll ask the question, is everyone taken or just a few? How do they get there? Why do they go? Who makes the selection? All of those are important questions. Now, verse 9 is a key pivotal verse of the end time. Let's read it. And the great dragon was cast out, that is Satan, and the demons were cast out because they ascend into heaven one more time and Satan wants to take over the throne of God. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving actively the whole world. He was cast down to the earth and his angels were cast down with him. So here's an event that the whole world is going to understand. And as we will see, this takes place shortly before the tribulation begins. Shortly before the martyrdom of the saints, as we read in Revelation 13. So this is talking now, we will see, about another group of people who are of the Church of God, who will be taken to a place of safety. So let's read it. And I heard a great voice in heaven say, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, who accuses them day and night before our God. But they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb, through the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now that's a general statement, because there are a lot who are going to be killed right as the tribulation begins. But notice, verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and those who dwell in them. Woe to those who inhabit the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has only a short time. This is just before the tribulation. Before the tribulation begins, there's a time of satanic wrath. Now, we don't know how long that is, but there will be some who will escape it. There will be some who will be killed. Now, verse 13, this does not describe a rapture to go to heaven. This describes something entirely different. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who had brought forth the man-child, and that man-child was Christ. So here is a time of persecution. The anger of Satan manifests itself in persecution. Now, persecution is not yet martyrdom. I call your attention to what happened in Nazi Germany, beginning with Kristallnacht. And Kristallnacht set off the persecution against the Jews, which then led to the Holocaust. So we have almost a repeat of it here. Satan is cast down. And he persecuted the woman, which is the church, who had brought forth the man-child. Now notice, and two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman, so she might fly to her place in the wilderness. Not in heaven. Never, 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 never is heaven described as a wilderness. Now remember those who fled on foot from Judea. Where did they go? They went into the mountains to the east, right? What is out there? A wilderness. So here's the second group of people. Where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, we're given a description of time. Time, 1 year, times, 2 years, so that's three, and a half a times, that's 3.5 years. That's the length of the time of the tribulation that God has predetermined and limited it to the 3.5 years. So she goes there just before the tribulation begins. So Satan persecutes the church, however long that is. Then there comes a day when some will be taken, like with the wings of a great eagle. And we will see that this is describing that angels will take physical people to a place of safety in the wilderness. That's not a secret rapture, and it's not in heaven. It's on the earth. So what happens? Verse 15, and the serpent cast water out of his mouth as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon had cast out of his mouth. So it's on the earth, you see. Satan is still after them. After the angels bring them there, after those who flee from Judea go there, then Satan tries to get them. But notice what happens. The earth opens up and swallows the water. Then the dragon was furious with the woman Didn't get him. Looks around. Notice what he does next. And went to make war with the rest of her seed. Who are the rest? Now, the King James says remnant. So a lot of people think, well, that's just a small group. No, the rest means the remainder. It is the few who are taken. And why does God spare some Christians in the flesh when all of the rest will be martyred? What is the reason for that? All right, now notice how this is described. He went to make war. That's to kill, right? Isn't that what you do in war? You kill. Kill Christians is called martyrdom. With the rest of her seed, now notice the description of them who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So these are faithful. When that takes place, this war, it's going to be a war greater than just against the saints, but the main purpose is, just like it was in World War II for the Nazis to get the Jews and send them off to the Holocaust, the main purpose is to ferret out every Christian who refuses to have the mark of the beast, who refuses to bow down to the image of the beast, who refuses to make an image of the beast. They're going to get killed. Some few are going to be taken. Now, how's that going to be accomplished? All right, let's come back here to Luke 17. Let's see a description of it. And here's a time that describes it very perfectly. But again, this is not a secret rapture. This is not going to heaven. This is going to another location on the earth. Now here in Luke 17, we find something very interesting concerning description of the kingdom of God and the event of the escape. So let's read it here in verse 20. Now when the Pharisees demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You're not going to look around and you're not going to see it. It isn't going to come that way. It isn't going to be here existing, and all you have to do is look around and find it. King James Version said, kingdom of God is in your heart. And those lying, conniving, thieving, murdering Pharisees, it's in their heart. The kingdom of God of love and truth and peace was in their heart. Whoever thought of that, they better check how they read. Verse 21, neither shall they say, behold, it is here, behold, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is standing in the midst of you. Not in your heart, not within you. Here the Pharisees were standing around. There was Jesus in the middle. They were saying, what is it going to be? And he said, you're not going to see it here. You're not going to see it there. Behold, the kingdom of God, who is Christ, is standing among you, right here. What did Jesus say when he began preaching? Said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand in the person of Jesus Christ. And is he not the coming king? Yes, indeed. And the king represents the kingdom? Correct. Yes, that's correct. Then he said to his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. And they shall say to you, look here or look there. Do not go, neither follow them. Now, we're going to see how Christ is going to come, and we'll come back to this in Matthew 24 a little later. But when it's time for Christ to return, everyone will see it. Not going to be any mistake. Not going to be any false alarm. It's not going to be on the earth. It's coming from heaven because that's where he is, and he's coming to the earth. So here's how it's going to be announced. Verse 24, for as the light of day, whose light shines from one end under heaven unto the other end under heaven, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first, something else has to happen. So he's telling them, kingdom of God isn't going to be set up right now. And when it does, everyone's going to know it. But first, it is necessary for him to suffer many things and to be rejected by this generation. Then he explains something to show what the world will be like just before those who are taken to the wilderness to a place of safety. Then he describes how they will go. Let's read it. Now as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. That is, the days leading up to his return. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now notice what he says here concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember that in Revelation 11 and verse 8, it says that this world is like Sodom and Egypt, typified by Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified. All right, let's go on. Verse 28. And as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. Isn't that true? Aren't we doing that today? Oh, we have an economic downturn now. But what are they always doing? All of these things, yes. But notice, but on the day that Lot went from Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed them all. This is how it shall be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Then he shows the two categories. First one we already described from Matthew 24. In that day, let not the one who is on his housetop and his goods in the house come down to take them away. Likewise, let not the one who is in the field return to the things behind. Remember Lot's wife. Well, let's stop and ask a question here. How was Lot able to escape the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? Angels came and took them away, didn't they? We have here the description of those who are in Judea. And they are to flee into the mountains. But notice he describes something entirely different. Here's something to remember, verse 33. Whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. That is, you lose it in Christ. Now he changes the topic very quickly here. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two in one bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Taken. By whom? By what? Who's going to take them? The same way that Lot was taken out of Sodom. Angels took them out. So the angels are going to take them. Those are the two great wings of an eagle described in Revelation 12, and they're going to be taken to a place in the wilderness. So we see something here very interesting. God sends the angels to do this, and God is the one who is making the selection. Very interesting, isn't it? Now, this is not a secret rapture. They are not going to heaven. Notice. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. Now, one is nighttime, grinding what? Grinding flour takes place in the morning. So now we have daytime. Notice the next verse. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. So this cannot be in the area of Judea. This is the area outside of Judea. Those in Judea flee into the hills, into the mountains, you see. Here an angel comes and takes them. Two wings of a great eagle and takes them where? To a place of safety in the wilderness. Now the disciples wanted to know where, and Jesus said, well, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now that doesn't tell us exactly where. But here is something that people look to and say, oh, this is the rapture. No, this is being taken to a place of safety just right before the tribulation begins. Some few will escape. The remainder, the majority, who are keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, will be martyred. So this is how it is confused with the resurrection, going to a place of safety. So I'll cover this again in the next segment because it's a little difficult to understand. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. So until next time, so long, everyone.